Romans 5. These first two verses of this chapter, I believe, are maybe some of the most important verses in a book filled with important verses in the book of Romans. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also, and I want you to see this, there's an also, by whom also, by Jesus Christ, we have access. That word access is admission. You're admitted into something. You have access by faith. Tell you something about faith. 30 years of teaching on faith have destroyed faith. You know what faith is? It's simply believing God. Simply believing what God says. It's all that faith is. It's simply believing God. And so when we have access by faith, he's saying you believe God and you have access into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Well, I said that I believe that these two verses are some of the most important verses in this book, because these two verses tied together, to me, are transition verses, maybe a sea change, that bring us from what Abraham received in believing God into what we receive through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I want you to see this, and I think that by and large the church has missed this, because he begins with being justified by faith, and he spent the whole previous chapter speaking of what Abraham discovered. And I tell this to people, that term is not describing your salvation. It's not describing what it is to be saved. And that's what is generally taught. But he's telling you what Abraham discovered, what Abraham found out, because the Jewish people, when the apostle was writing this, believed that if you were going to come to God, you had to come through the righteousnesses of the law, that you had to come through animal sacrifice, that you had to come through the ordinances, through the commandments, or God wouldn't even take notice of you. God wouldn't even receive you. If you weren't initiating these things and coming through these things, and he says, but what did Abraham find out? Abraham found out that if he would believe God, he could come to God. If he would believe God, he could receive promise of God. And that the righteousness of faith was superior to the righteousness of a lamb offering or a goat offering or a sacrifice. The righteousness of someone that would believe God, God says, you can come. You can come. And this issue that he lays out here, he lays out for all people, for all nations, for all kindred, for all races, for all tongues of people, for all nationalities, for male, for female. In his day, it was for slaves or for free men, that anyone, doesn't matter who you are, if you will believe God, you can come. And that was his message of the righteousness of faith, or justification by faith. That you don't have to come through lamb offerings and ritualism and such things as that. Just believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Believe it and come. But this transition takes us from what Abraham discovered, what Abraham found out, into what Christ has given. Because as great as a man as Abraham was, and David was, and Moses was, and Noah was, and Elijah was, and the list could go on about those who had the righteousness of faith, they believed God, it was accounted to them also for righteousness. As great as they were, as much promise as they received, they still died in faith, not having received the promise. This promise of a grace that would come unto us. And so the Scripture says they obtained a good report through faith, but they received not the promise. God having provided a better thing for us. And so this passage, these two verses, are showing that transition between what Abraham discovered and what you can discover. I want to tell you there's something God wants you to discover, and it's greater than what Abraham discovered. It's more. It's what Abraham sought for. It's what Abraham saw afar off. It's what Abraham believed would come, but he never discovered it. He never found it. He never entered in. But he said, you not only stand like Abraham stood believing God, but you now have a mission, access into, he calls it, this grace. This grace. And that's what we want to talk about this morning, because I believe that there are many sincere people in this place. I believe that there are many sincere people in churches across this nation, around the world, that the only thing that they know of the Lord, they believe God to the best of all they've been told, of all they've been taught, and of all that's been preached to them, but they still find a walk with God to be a struggle, to be a hardship, to be a fall down and get up and then fall down again and then get up, but keep going on. David fell. He got up. Abraham had his issues, and we're told all these things, and those things are true. But he, the apostle, is telling us, but I want you to see that you can enter this grace. I want you to see that there's something more. I want you to see that you can enter this grace that they couldn't enter. That they couldn't enter. That was not available to them. I want to tell you, you have something that David wept for. You have something set before you that Abraham pursued his whole life. And it is offered to you, and you have admission, or you have access. You can come right on into it if you will believe the record that God gave of His Son. 1 Peter, 1st chapter, the 9th verse, receiving the end of your faith. That word end is the goal. How many have a goal with your faith? Receiving the goal of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Was there a reason you believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Receive, it's not something afar off. Receiving the purpose of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation? The prophets. Now these prophets are those, what we call Old Testament prophets, from the beginning all the way through Malachi. These prophets that God spoke to, these prophets that God delivered the record of His Son, the witness of His Son, what Christ would do, that Christ would be, and that Christ is, that Christ would come, what Christ would bring, and this message is throughout the prophets. And He said the prophets, they inquired of this salvation, they inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Can you see that these great men and women of God who received great victories through faith, who found grace in the eyes of God, yet they saw a grace that would come to you. They saw something that was not for them in their day. They saw a grace that would come unto you. Something that when they saw it, it was so overwhelming. It was so beyond them that when they would see it and they would speak it, and then they would begin to look for it. It says they searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Now, I want you to see these prophets, these men and these women of God that God would speak to. They loved God. They served God. They were real with God. God gave them great promise. God delivered them. God fought for them. But sometimes God would speak through them words that were too great for them, that were beyond their comprehension, their understanding, and they begin to testify of Messiah, the Christ, and the sufferings of Christ, and the glory that would follow. Now, the word follow, it's important that we understand this. It's not follow as in a line of procession. It's not that. The word actually means accompanies it. It's that when you see one, you see the other. When you have one, you have the other. And really the best example of this in the Scripture is the opposite of this. The Scripture says, by one man, sin entered the world, and what followed? And death by sin. And throughout the record of the Scripture, the wages of sin is what? Death. Where sin is, death accompanies. Where sin is, death follows. And that's the partnership between sin and death. And it'll always be that way. Grace doesn't break up that partnership. Grace destroys the sting of death, which is sin. But He spoke of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that would accompany it. Just as surely as where you find sin, you find death. Where you find the sufferings of Christ, you find the glory that accompanies it. And that's with it. That follows it. But can you imagine these prophets, these that God would speak this to, and they would begin and to see a glimpse of a Messiah, a lamb that would be slain, a hill that would be bruised, a sacrifice that would be offered, a visage that would be marred. They would begin to see the sufferings of Christ, and then all of a sudden God begins to pour out of their mouth a testimony of a glory that would accompany it. And they begin to look. When is this? Where is this? How can this be? Well, this is what Peter is talking about. And he calls it our salvation. He says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently who prophesied the grace that should come to you. Now, I want to tell you, if you want to understand grace, don't look back to Martin Luther. Don't look back to John Calvin. Don't look to John Bunyan. Don't look to Wesley. Don't look to any great man or woman of God that may have been a great man or woman of God. If you want to understand and see what grace is, this grace that would come unto you. We understand, and most people think of grace as unmerited favor. Well, grace, the root word of grace is favor. The favor, the graciousness of God. I want to tell you God is gracious. But I often tell people, but unmerited favor doesn't fit. And you say, well, why doesn't it fit? Because only those that believe God receive it. There is a merit. You will believe God before you receive grace. And God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. There is something God looks for before He gives grace. The Scripture says Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Did you know that? That's the reason Noah was spared in the flood. That's the reason Noah was warned of the flood, to build an ark. If we go with our modern interpretation of grace, we just said God closed His eyes and eeny, meeny, miny, moe, and boom, His finger landed on Noah. Noah was a righteous man. There's a reason Noah found favor with God. His heart was not upon evil continually. He was not one and that his imagination was filled with violence. He was not one of those. And God looked at a righteous man and gave him favor when he was ready to destroy all flesh. There's a reason that grace comes. You say, well, then that's not grace. Yes, it is. But if you want to understand grace, he tells you right here, the prophets prophesied of the grace. I want you to see this. If you want to understand the grace that you can enter, some of you have entered. Many of you have entered. But there are many, and I will say this, because someone is struggling in darkness and sin doesn't mean they're not sincere. I want you to understand that. Sometimes we can be guilty because someone stands up and says, we're all sinners. And we say, you're just a liar and a hypocrite. No, they believe that. That's what they've been taught. That's what they've been told. That's what their experience tells them. That's what grandma said. That's what great grandma said. And many are sincere. There are hypocrites out there. Don't get me wrong. But there are many sincere people that are doing everything within their power to serve God. And it's just not working for them. But we're sent to tell them, you have access into this grace if you will believe God. But the prophets prophesied of the grace. Can you see they told us what this grace would be before it came? Before Jesus was born of a virgin, they had already told us what this grace would be. And you say, well, where did they tell us that? Well, he says when they testified of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that would accompany it. They were telling us about the grace that would come to us. And I want to take a few minutes this morning, and hopefully it'll speak to you. Yes, I mean you. Hopefully it will speak to you. And I want to go back and to those that he said told us about the grace. The first one was God Himself that testified of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that would follow. Did you know that? It was God Himself that told us of the grace that would come to us. And you say, how do you know it? Because He told us about the sufferings of Christ, and He told us about the glory that should follow. And you're going to find that in Genesis 3:15. After the fall of man, and God's questioned the man, He's questioned the woman,
And he doesn't question the serpent. He looks at the serpent and he says, because you've done this, you've done this, you're going to eat the dust of the earth on your belly. And then he makes a promise. And some people call it a threat. God doesn't make threats. He makes a promise. He said, I will put enmity between you and the seed of the woman, and it shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise its heel. Now, we think, well, that's people all the time. They've been stepping on snakes. No, that's the Lord from heaven who stepped on a snake. Amen. That's the Lord from heaven. But I want you to see in it the sufferings of Christ. The sufferings of Christ. What was it? His heel was going to be bruised. And he was going. And that fleshly temple was wounded and was bruised, was afflicted and suffered the death of the cross. That's our first testimony of the sufferings of Christ. But I want to tell you, there's another testimony that accompanies it. And do you know what that was? But it, that seed of the woman, is going to bruise your head, O Lucifer. It's going to, and that was a testimony of the grace that would come to us. I know I talked to so many people, run over by the devil, beat up, taken apart, stripped down by the enemy. Can I tell you about a kingdom and a kingdom where Satan is destroyed, where his head is bruised, where you can walk in victory all the days of your life? You say, I don't believe that. Then believe the prophets and believe the testimony that God gave of His Son. Because He said He will bruise. He's not talking about Satan going around with a blue mark. That's how you kill a snake. He will bruise your head. It's a testimony of the grace that would come to you. Daniel saw this grace that would come to you. Did you know that? In Daniel 9, the passage we go to often, but he sees Christ, calls him Messiah the Prince. And he says he will be cut off. They gasp and say, no, Messiah will not be cut off. And Peter said, not so, Lord, this will never happen to you. Gabriel told Daniel, said, Messiah will be cut off. What a horrible thing. Messiah will be cut off. He'll be killed. Oh, no. He'll be killed, but not for himself. It won't be because of himself. That's the sufferings of Christ. You know the glory that accompanies it. Gabriel said he'll finish the transgression. He'll make an end of sin. He'll make reconciliation for iniquity. He'll bring in everlasting righteousness. Can you see why these prophets said, what? When all across the land in our day, people say that's impossible. In the churches, that can't be. That can't be. That can't happen. But the prophets saw it. They saw the grace that would come to you. And that Messiah, yes, he'll be cut off. He'll be cut off. He'll be slain. But there's something that accompanies this. He will make an end to sin. He will make reconciliation for iniquity. He will bring in everlasting righteousness. And someone says, I'm looking forward to that day. Then you're looking in the wrong direction. You need to look back. Look to the cross. Look to the blood. Look to the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the Lamb of God. It's the grace that was promised to you. Isaiah, his visage was marred more than any man, more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. He is led as a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before the shearers is dumb, so He opened not His mouth. It's the sufferings of Christ. But if you read Isaiah, it explodes with the glory that follows, that accompanies it. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. Darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness the people, but the glory of the Lord will arise upon you. But you need to see this hand in hand. Hand in hand. Brother Surfis has been preaching about that blood connection. That blood connection. You need to see that connection that accompanies the sufferings of Christ. It's the glory that follows it, that goes hand in hand with it. Awake, awake. Put on thy strength, on thine. From henceforth, and shall not enter thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. It's the glory. Someone says, oh, them prophecies, they're for Israel, they're for that. No, if you read that verse in 1 Peter, he said, unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves they did minister the things that are reported unto you by them that preach the gospel unto you by the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. He's saying they knew this was too big for them. They knew that it was not to themselves. It was to you. The glories of Christ. We touched last week, I believe it's Isaiah 60, the promise. He said that you shall not fear. He said your walls will be called salvation and your gates will be called praise. He said all thy people shall be righteous. You said, I've never seen a church like that. I have, but it's not in a building. I want to tell you that. It's not in... I've seen a church like that. Anywhere you see the church of Jesus Christ, you see a people that are all... Every one of them's righteous. Every one of them have been washed. Every one of them have been made clean. There's not an unclean one in the midst. I'm not telling you that's Calvary Outreach Church. I'm not telling you that's any church in the land. But I'm telling you there's a grace and that you're invited into that you can be a part of, that all its people are righteous. It's the glory. You say, that's just too big. Yes, it is. That just, no one can do that. No, they can't. Except the Lord from heaven. Amen. Except the one who is the beginning, in whom all things, and by whom, and through him, and for whom all things were made. No one but him could accomplish such a thing. And he says they go hand in hand. The sufferings and the glory. Just as sure as sin and death are partners. Are partners. The sufferings of Christ and the glory accompanies it.